today is the Lord's Supper. Amen. When we weren't fit to die, the Lord died for us. Amen. I've heard the testimonies coming. Oh, God is a merciful God. God is merciful. Amen. I'm so glad that God's our man. Because if God was man, every time we messed up, he would bring it to our face and bring it to our remembrance. I tried to exact judgment on us, but God is a merciful God. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife and her continued health and strength. We thank God for all of you. Amen. We just thank God that he's a mighty good God. Let us stand for our scripture reading at this time, which we come from Matthew, the 7th chapter. We're going to read together verses 15 through 23. The 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 15 through 23. Amen. We serve a God that looks beyond all of our faults. And the scripture, and the song that says, Lord, he looks beyond all of our faults, and that God sees our needs. Amen. Many times we get discouraged, and we feel as though God has let us down, but God is faithful. How many know God is faithful? This is God. The scripture says God is faithful. And because he's faithful, he'll never allow us to go through more than we can bear. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that we might be able to. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is faithful. How many know he's faithful? How many have a testimony that down through the years, God has been good to me? Can we say down through the years? Come on, down through the years. God's been good to me. Somebody else may have let me down, but I say God's been good to me. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to start at verse 15. And we're going to read together verses 15 through 23. We serve a real God. How many of God is a real God? Yes. And the old song says, you can't make me down. Because I know you might down, but you can't make me down yet. Because I know too much about you. Verse 15 reads, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Once again, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know. Once again, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Then the Lord to show the separation about those that act one way, but the inwardly they are another way, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And those that have been corrupted, the third thing that bringeth forth some good fruit, the Lord says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work. Lord, we bless you and we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Lord, we ask you at this time if you would search every heart. Lord, you know our needs even before we ask. Lord, when your word says ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto thee. Lord, we ask you to send a word today. Lord, that we seek your will to know what is your word. And Lord, we're knocking that you can open and pour us out a blessing that we have not room to us a word. Send a word to heal. Lord, send a word to deliver. Lord, send a word to set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Come on, can we say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. The scripture says, what kind of noise are we to make to the Lord? What kind of noise? A joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Let's go back to, there's so much in this, and there's so many other scriptures that we will try and touch on. But verse 16 said, ye shall know them by their fruit. Amen. People say one thing, but they say, I don't go by what you say. But we know them by their fruits. Right? So he said, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then he goes on to say, after ye shall know them by their fruits, he said, you men gather grapes of thorns, of figs of thistles. The Lord said, now you can't gather saints of sinners, and you're not going to get a sinner out of a saint. Because by the way we live is how God will judge us. Amen. Let me just drop down a little bit further, because we do have more scriptures. Verse 21 says, now, he saw my people that were in church, right? He said, now, even in church, you got good fruit and you got bad fruit. He said, in church, you got good fruit and you have corrupt fruit. In church, you have good fruit and you have evil fruit. Now, he's going to explain that even those corrupt, evil, messed up fruit can still do some good things. Well, let's see what the Lord says. Y'all with me? He says, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that is impossible, hallelujah, to get to heaven unless you say yes to his will and yes to his way. So the corrupt fruit tries to manipulate God. The corrupt fruit tries to impress God. Well, how do they impress God? They go, let's drop down to verse 22. He said, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? He goes on to say, and in thy name has. He said, Lord, certainly, hallelujah, we got to be a good fruit. Look at all that we've done. Right? If they go on and say, in thy name, done many. The problem is where they start off at. They just start off saying, Lord, because I was in your will, this is what you did through me. But they said, look what we have. Yeah. So the corrupt fruit takes the focus off of the deliverer. And the corrupt fruit starts focusing on themselves. With that in mind, our message today is the real you. The real you. The real you is the part that God knows. The real you is not the part that everybody else sees, but the real you is the part that God sees. In the book of Psalms, the Lord said, I know thee. I know thy uprising. I know thy down city. The Lord said, I'm acquainted with all of your ways. The Lord said, I know everything that is about you. So you may be able to impress others. You may be able to put up a facade against others. He said, but what about the real you? Can we say praise the Lord? And if we were to have a second thought to the real you, you're big in the eyes of men, but you're very small in the eyes of God. The real you. Everybody's applauding you and praising you and talking about all that you've accomplished. Hallelujah. That's not the real you. Hallelujah. Because God looks beyond all of your accomplishments. Like he told them, he said, yes, you've done this. Yes, you've done that. Yes, you've done the other. But he said, but I never knew you. How can you be in church and God does all of this? And in the end, God said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Hallelujah. Because God looks beyond our outward actions, and God looks at the motives. God looks at us. He said, now, I'm not impressed with your ostentatious display. I'm not impressed with all your outside praise. He said, I'm not impressed with your dumping Because man is looking at the outside. God said that I'm looking deeper. Hallelujah. He said I'm looking where nobody else can see. God said I'm shaking a part of you. Hallelujah. And I can look beyond you. He said on the outside you look one way. But God said that ain't the real you. God said the real you, when I look at you, there's some stuff down in the real you that need to come out. God said, when I look at you, hallelujah, I heard what you said. God said, but I'm looking at the real you. Now, we're going to listen to that because ask somebody, say, are you real? Before I ask them, are you real? Amen. Now, let's get into some more scriptures. You know, we can try to preach you happy. But if you don't want to preach happy and then still walk out like phony. He said, because when you're false, you come in sheep clothing. Right? When you're not real. You come in sheep clothing and he said, but your problem is not on the outside. Your problem is where? And you know what's so good about God? Every one of us, we might not put on a good show on the outside, but what's going on? God said, inwardly, you're nothing more than a ravening wolf. So on the outside, you look real. God said, but on the inside, yeah, I have a problem with you. God said, because I've searched you, I've known you, and I'm acquainted with all your ways. When you put up a phony thing for somebody on the outside, they applaud and applaud at you and they praise you. God said, I look beyond that. Amen. Let's go to the 16th chapter. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you how this is going, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you what God gave me. Amen. I'm going to give you what God gave me. Because I think it's time, and I know it's time, for us to really be on our way to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? You can't go to heaven unless you live right. I don't care what the televangelist and all because the Bible says by their, you're going to know them. So people can't excuse your sins away. They can't excuse your mess away because God doesn't go by the excuses. He looked at you for what you really are. Can we say, praise the Lord. Luke 16, verse 10 reads, he that is faithful in that which is also, no, sorry, faithful in, let me read that again. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in. So if you're faithful in when nobody else is watching you, you're faithful when somebody is watching you also. If you're faithful when nobody is, when somebody is watching you, you're faithful when nobody. He said if you're faithful, you're faithful all the time. You don't turn on and turn off faithfulness. You don't turn on my little Lord's side today and tomorrow. He said, if you're faithful in the least, then you're faithful in much. So you can't be on, I know God can do it today, and then tomorrow I don't know if God can do it. The Bible said that it is unstable, or double-minded, and a double-minded man is unstable and all afraid. So how are you faithful in least? Hallelujah. Are you faithful when nobody's watching you? Are you faithful when you can do for God, but you make up excuses why you can't? Amen? So he goes on to say, he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Now we're trying to find out the real you. What do I look like to you? And what do I look like to God? What do you look like to you? And what do you look like to God? What I think doesn't matter. What I look at, it doesn't matter. That's why Jesus said, you don't fear him that's able to destroy the body, but we ought to fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. Our problem is we're pleasing the wrong one all the time. We're pleasing man and we forget about God. God said, if you just be faithful to me in that which is least, watch and see what I'll do for you. How many, when nobody else will see you, watch what I'll do. If you're faithful in that which is least, he said, but then if you're unjust, you're going to be unjust still. Amen. Verse 11 says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? All the world has is what God would consider unrighteous mammon. But the true riches, hallelujah, I got a name in glory, and it's mine, mine, and all mine. Anybody want your name to be in glory? That is the true riches. Hallelujah. That is the riches the scripture said where moth and rust does not corrupt. That is the true riches. And the scripture said if you have the true riches, then where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Oh, I wonder, do anybody today have some true riches? Hallelujah. Y'all with me? I'm going to try and bring this to you no more. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is? This is the Lord speaking now. He said, no servant can serve. You can't be with God on Sunday and live with the devil all Monday through Saturday and then come back and be with God on Sunday. Because when you're not with God Monday through Saturday, that means you're serving another God. You're serving another master. He said you cannot serve. God said it's your choice. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve God or do you want to serve the devil? I heard Elijah ask the people, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if God be God, then serve God. He said, but if Baal be God, then serve Baal. Hallelujah. But when you don't have a real stand, you'll be like the people. The people answer not a word. What happens when we are put to our test? What happens when our faith is on display? Do we stand for God? Do we walk with God even at the consequence of losing things? Or do we not say a word? The coward takes the easy way out. When it's time to make a stand, they don't say a word. So the Lord goes on and says, you cannot serve God and the Pharisees also were greedy. All they were concerned about was their money and what they could get. That's why today I don't preach about get your stuff. I say get saved. Because the Bible says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, all the rest of the stuff he's going to. There are a whole lot of people are adding some stuff, but they're not even saved. They're not righteous. They don't see God. I'd rather have God and nothing than have everything in this world and find no cause. Can I say this? Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. I say I'd rather have God and nothing than have everything in this world and find no cause. Now I serve one master, and my master is, can we say Jesus? Come on, can we say Jesus? Can you call him from the inside, Jesus? Hallelujah. The Pharisees agreed and heard all these things, and they began to mock him. Deride means mock. They began to taunt the Lord. They began to mock him, and so he couldn't do anything. And unto the mockers. Mockers are those who go through the motion of being saved. But they ain't really saved. They have all the outward display for saved, but they aren't really saved. Because they are not doing it from the heart. The Bible says, from the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth he maketh confession unto salvation. So if your heart ain't in it, I don't care what your mouth said, you're not saved. Right? You can do all you want to do to put up the pretense, but God looks beyond everything and he looks at our heart. So the Lord says, and he said unto them, ye are they which ye are right with men. Being in the eyes of men. He said, you are they which justify yourselves before men. For that which is highly. He said, now you know what? A lot of people today in church, thank God I'm not talking about none of y'all. So y'all can relax. I ain't talking about you. Listen. A whole lot of people in church know that life is out of tune, but somebody tells them, you're all right. God forgive me. God will make way. And you know within yourself, you're disturbed. You know within yourself, your spirit is stirred. Because you know, you saying one thing about me, but when I go home, the tears I cry at home. It's because I know my life is out of harmony with God. You so it might be highly esteemed among men, but the scripture says that which they say makes you alright is a what? Abomination. God hates that, that you're doing, and you're doing it before men to be seen. Hallelujah. But that ain't the real you. That ain't the real you. You're doing it to be seen of men. God said, they are applauding you, but I am condemning you. God said, they're praising you. God said, but I'm not pleased with you. Why? Because your works are not right. You're not living according to my plan. Can we say praise the Lord? Y'all want to sing with me? Y'all make a difference. I'm going to go ahead. Let's go to John the 12th chapter. So a lot of us are living because of my man. Well, you know, they said I'm all right, so I got to be all right. Your conscience is killing you. Your conscience is beating you up. Everywhere you go, you hear words, and all you hear is God's people saying, get right, church, and let's go. Anybody want to go home? I don't know about you, but I'm going home for the morning train. Because the evening train might be too late. So I'm not going to, you know what, actually, you know what I mean? I'm not going to put off for tomorrow what I need to do. I'm not going to say, Lord, let me think about this. I need to be saved today. I need to be right today. John 12 verse 42 reads, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many, they believe on him. But it says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not, I believe, I believe, but I don't want my husband, I don't want my wife, I don't want my best friend. I do believe. But I'm going to do like, you know, anybody got some secret worship? Private worship? I'm just going to worship them because I don't want nobody to know. If God's been good to me, I shall hallelujah. If God has been great to me, I shall thank you, Jesus. I don't care if the whole world knows about it. I'm going to give God the praise because the world didn't do anything for me. The world didn't bring me this for me. The world didn't deliver me, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God because it's the power of God. Should be put out of the synagogue. Their problem was what happens in too many churches and too many of my life. For they love God, praises God, men more than big in the eyes of men. Small. So I'm praising God, I'm shouting, I'm having a good two-step, and I'm doing all this, and the heart ain't right. All that shouting ain't the real you. The real you is saying, sit down. You know what you did last night. You know how you acted last week. That ain't the real you. So sometimes people will give us praise and we're big in their eyes. It's small in God's eyes. And you know, as I prepare this stuff, something, I like to use real life situations. Right? Everybody always says, that's always in the Bible. I want to use a real life situation. I recently, and I, for the sake of not trying to figure out who it is, I won't give you too many details. I just gave you recently. Recently could be 2016. Recently could be 2015. Or it could be 2014. Because that's recent, because I'm 60, almost 60 years old, so that's recent. All right, so y'all don't know when it is. So recently. Don't try to figure it out. Because I don't even think I told nobody this. No, so y'all don't know. Nobody, like, how you get this from you? I'm out there. But recently, I was dealing with a pastor. He's a probably a multimillionaire, very successful, accomplished a lot. I was talking to him, he was talking to me. And I said, man, you got a great testimony. That is beautiful. He said, yes, Pastor. He said, but I had this one trial, and blank. I didn't really hear that. And I know I didn't just hear wrong. He's, oh, excuse me. I should have said that. Like, wow. It came out so. I said, man, I just better be small and have to go. And be right. Then be way up there and be. He said, oh, excuse me. I said, okay. So the rest of that day, 2012, 2010, 2011, I'm trying to figure it out. I was gonna mess up. Like, that was the pastor that used a profanity to describe God's goodness. And I said, you know what, Lord, I just rather stay small. Amen. I'd rather be small and have nothing than have big or wrong. But let's keep going, all right? Now let's go to 2 Samuel. We're going to go to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. The real you. The real you is what God sees and what no one else sees. I'm sure the pastor didn't mean it. I pray that he didn't mean it to come out that way, but I was just flabbergasted. He didn't even hesitate. It flowed out so wrong that he had to pause. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I shouldn't have said that word. God, check me. Check me at the door. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to be saved. Amen? Well, Second Samuel, we deal with a real live illustration of someone who thought they were all right until the man of God had to call them to them, had to show them themselves as they really were. They weren't real. And everybody applauded and praised them, but they weren't real. We're going to talk about at this time King David, who was a man of God who failed to see himself as God saw him. Even though God said he's a man after my own heart, he had a pass. Anybody got a pass?
Hallelujah.
I got a pass. I ain't gonna try. I got a pass. Hallelujah. Don't look back in the books. I do have. I ain't been to jail and drugs and all that, but I got a pass. Amen. The Bible said, everything that ain't saved is sin. So before I got saved, I got some. I got a lot of sin. But David did not see himself as God saw him. David thought he was all right because he was elevated to be king. And the scripture said he was a man after God's own heart. You can be after God's own heart and you can still not see yourself the way God sees you. Amen? There were four problems that David had in not being able to see himself. First of all, David didn't realize that there was a seed of lust in him. So the scripture said at the time of year when all the kings went out to war, David stayed home, and as he went to admire his kingdom, he saw Bathsheba down in the water, and he called Bathsheba to come unto him. First he inquired, he said, who is she? And they said, this is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So he knew that she was another man's, right? So what did David do? He forced a thing with her. So not only was David a lustful person, but David also was an adulterer. Amen. But David did not see himself as he really was. He saw a false him until he saw a man of God who called his sins to his remembrance. David, not only was he an adulterer, but he was a manipulator, because after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she sinned and said, he sent for Uriah to come back, but because Uriah was faithful, he wouldn't go to his house. So David, being in lust, in adultery, and the manipulator he was, gave Uriah his own death sentence and told him to take it back. So he was a manipulator. And on top of that, David was arrogant and full of pride, and we're going to start from here. So verse 25 of 2 Samuel 11 reads, then David sent unto the messengers, after he had Uriah killed, thus shall I say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou them. How can you be encouraged over Rome? Hallelujah, because we are arrogant and full of pride. It's just about what you are and what you think people think about you. Amen? Verse 26 says, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Verse 27, and when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. So David thought that he was all right. He thought that he had passed the test. He thought he had manipulated the covenant law all his wrong. But the latter part said, but the thing that David did had displeased the Lord. So David was manipulating. He was conniving. He was plotting. He was doing everything to cover his wrong so nobody don't see it. But God saw it. And the scripture said it displeased God. David wasn't being real. David wasn't being true. David was being fake, and he was trying to cover up what he had done. But God saw it, and the scripture said it displeased the Lord. Now let's go to verse 1 of chapter 12. It displeased the Lord, not to please. Displeased. Every once in a while, my southern accent come out. Right. Y'all from Wilmington, Dallas? Y'all from Wilmington, North Carolina? You born there? All right. So y'all live in the city part of the country part? I'm from the country boy, so y'all understand that. All right, well, let's keep going, all right? First one reads, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Now, David was all right in his eyes. David was like, I'm the king. I said, they go. I called, they come. I'm the king. Who's going to mess with me? Because I am. You know, like, a lot of times in people's house, it's like a people husband. I'm a king, I'm a priest of this house, I can do what I, God still sees you. He sees you. You can try and do what you want, but God still sees you. So God sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and he said, there were two men in one city, one rich, and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herd, but the poor man had, I'd rather have nothing than have God. God knows that's my testimony. I don't need wealth, I don't need riches. All I need is Jesus. Anybody ever get to that point? Lord, everything else don't matter. If I don't have Jesus, I don't have nothing. Hallelujah. So I need Jesus. So he had nothing. But a little ewe lamb, which he brought up and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, it did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as his daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but he took the poor man's land. Yes, Lord. And dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, all that you got, why you got to go take somebody else's? Hallelujah. Because your heart ain't right. But David, it's bad when someone is describing you and you don't even know they're talking about you. It's bad when they're describing all of your hypocrisy and your wrong and you don't even realize they're talking about you. Why? Because you're not real with yourself and you're portraying yourself one way and you can't see that who they're bringing condemnation on is you because you're wrong. Hallelujah. So he goes on to say in verse 5, and David's anger was kindled against. David was mad at his own self and did not realize because he wasn't real. David was mad at his own self because he didn't really acknowledge his wrong. David thought that he had covered his sin. And I read about it in Proverbs 28:13 said, he keep sinning, and God will forgive us. Hallelujah. But that's not what God said. God said, my grace is your help when you need it. My grace ain't your help when you think you can abuse it. My grace ain't your help when you think you can do what you want to do. But my grace is your help when you need it. He said that if you have the right frame of mind, then you can come boldly to the throne of grace. That you can find grace and help and mercy in a time of need. But David, hallelujah, was presuming on God's mercy. Whatever you do, don't presume on God's mercy. Don't be wrong. Know you're living wrong. Know you're doing the wrong thing. And keep doing the same thing because you're not real. That ain't the real you. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And David's anger was kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Bad when you pronounce a judgment on your own self and you don't realize it because you ain't real. You're just going through the motions. You act in, I'm in church, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, but there's sin in your life. Hallelujah, the scripture said your sin will find you out. You can run wherever you want to. The scripture says you can depart to the farthest part of the sea, and God said, I am there. This is the kind of God we serve. He said, he will make your bed in heaven. He said, I am there. You can go down to the uttermost, deepest part of hell. God said, I am there. He said, is there any places you can go where I, the Lord, don't see you? So there's no hiding place. You can run, hallelujah, but be assured of one thing.
The real you, they wouldn't have scientific knowledge.
to see the real you. The only one that can see the real you is God. You can go through every x-ray, they can MRI you, they can CAT scan you, and this scan you, and that scan you. They can't see. But the real you, you know it. God sees it, and you know it.
Jesus.
The real you is, how have I been living?
Jesus.
The real you says now, we read about it in the 7th chapter, he said now, I can't say that I'm one kind of tree when my life is another. That's because by their fruit you shall. That's the real you, all right? Let me finish this scripture. I'm almost finished, all right? Y'all with me? So David gets angry. He said unto Nathan, when his wrath was kindled, he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall. There are two kinds of death. There is a death when we leave this world, and then there's another death when we are separated from God. When you're alive and you're separated from God, you really are dead. You know, as a kid growing up, I knew about being in church. I didn't really understand being saved, but I knew about being in church. I knew the times I did stuff wrong, right? And in my knees, I would pray at night, but I still didn't understand. I didn't understand salvation. But as I was growing up as a kid, I would have these dreams that I would be about to die. But, you know, now I don't know how true it is. Now I don't want to find out. They say if you die in your dream, you die for real. Well, I don't know. I almost said folklore. We got a lot of folklore in South Carolina. You know, you got to sweep your feet, got to spin the broom and pull out. That's a lot of that superstitious stuff. So I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I'm just saying, well, you know, don't eat peanuts in the car because you eat the weakest person out your family and all that sort of stuff. Don't walk up the ladder. Because, you know, we got all that stuff out there. When you drive past the cemetery, and so on. We had a lot of this. I don't know if this is true or not. But growing up, they always said, if you die in your dream, you die. For real. So I used to have these dreams repeatedly where I was about to die. And I would be fighting the Lord, I can't die because I don't think I'm ready to go to heaven. Thank God I didn't die in a dream. I don't want to find out because I wasn't ready. Right? But I started giving another chance. And I did this so many years. Seriously, so many years. I would wake up in the middle of the night, nobody even. My heart be beating. I almost died. Man, I don't want to go to hell. But I know I'm living right. Seriously, I know I'm living. But, so I'm ready to die. Oh, I can't die in my dream. I thought it was real. But I didn't know what it was. I said, can't die because if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Because I know I did a lot of stuff wrong. And I have not yet made it right. So there's two kinds of death. There's death when you live everything with guilt. And a conscience that's eating you up because you're not where you are to be with God. That's a bad death. But the worst death is when you die without the Lord. That's bad. So David said, that man shall what? Surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had David didn't see himself. He thought a prophet was talking about somebody else. And God was speaking, hallelujah. Glory to God. Derek. God is speaking to somebody right now.
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And you think he's talking to somebody else.
Jesus.
He's speaking to you. You've been going through the motions.
Jesus.
You've been doing everything your way. And you said, I go to a church where I hear the right thing that I want to hear. Those itching ears won't save you. God is speaking to somebody right now.
Jesus.
And God is telling your life is not in line. You need to get it right. So David said, he shall surely die. And Nathan said unto David, you don't even realize it, as we all stand. God is speaking directly to you. God is trying to get your life right. Now, the one thing that David did have in his defense, when he realized that he was seeing the real him, he said, I have sinned. And because he confesses sin, God had mercy on him and forgave him. Today, God is speaking to someone. I don't have to discern it. You know within your soul. You know within yourself. When everybody looks at me, is this the real me? Or is it the soul me that God sees and knows there's a problem? It's time to be real. God is not impressed when all men speak well of you. Because the Bible says, woe when what? All men speak well of you. It's time for us as a church, in your individual lives. I'm not going to walk out of any of these doors and not be right. I'm not going to presume on God's mercy. I know that there's stuff in my life I need to get right. It's time for us to be for real with God. The facade, the sham, is not going to get by. Because God is watching you. Even right now, God is breathing our minds. The mighty God that we serve, he searched my mind. Yes, 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 get it right. Just get it right. Don't try to excuse it. Don't try to excuse it away. Don't try and justify it. He said they justified it before men, but that which highly is esteemed among men is an abomination. Don't try to justify it in your mind. Just say, Lord, yes. Can we say yes? Just say, Lord, yes. Come on, get God away from it. Just say yes. Just tell him yes. And then you're telling God yes. Well, God, when you feel God, the thing about God is you feel God talking in your heart, it's not an individual. I don't know where you can see who else is coming. I gotta be saved. I won't spend the rest of my time in a burning hell because I'm afraid of what other people think of me instead of the Lord. Are you real today? You know. And God knows. Maybe you can fool about us, but God sees you when nobody else sees. God knows the very thoughts of your head right now. It's time as a church. It's time in our individual life to be real. Anybody like phonies? Anybody like anybody that's a phony or fake? Nobody wants to be around a fake, right? They can get a fake to come and die with us. But let us be real with the gifts.